Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pitti Engineering's Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to the earnings call for Q2 and H1 FY25. We'll begin with a brief overview of the performance during the quarter, followed by the Q&A session. The past 6 months have been quite eventful for our company. As you know, we have completed the acquisitions of both Bagadia Chaitra Industries Private Limited and Dakshin Foundries Private Limited. We have also completed the merger of Pitti Castings Private Limited with Pitti Engineering Limited. Further, during the H1, we have raised rupees 359.99 crores through QIP. On the back of these developments, we have reported our best consolidated performance in H1 FY25. Consolidated revenue grew by 37.1% to 850 crores. EBITDA was up by 59.83% at 124 crore rupees, and reported PAT was higher by 105% at 57.38 crores. EPS was 16.04. On a standalone basis, our revenue in H1 was rupees 768 crores, our EBITDA was 115 crores, and PAT was 52.57 crores. Sales volume from lamination and its assemblies was 24,952 tons. Sales volume from casting and machine components was 3,636 tons. Now, coming to the Q2 FY25, our consolidated revenue was 455 crores, EBITDA was 66 crores, PAT was 38 crores, registering YOY growth of 44.39%, 48.27%, and 72.64% respectively. Revenue growth in H1 FY25 was 10.2%. On a standalone basis for Q2 FY25, our revenue grew by 28.44% to 404.97 crores. EBITDA was 59.49 crores, up by 33.51%, and PAT was 34.05 crores, higher by 54.7%. Sales volume for the quarter for lamination and its assemblies was 12,514 tons. Sales of casting and machine components was 1,900 tons. The funds raised through QIP have been fully utilized towards the objects as stated in the placement document. Consolidated net debt as of 30th September was 330 crore rupees. Looking ahead, I'm confident on further improvement in our operating and financial performance as our new capacities become operational and we continue to derive synergies from our recent acquisition and merger. On that note, I would like to now start our Q&A session.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and one to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Deepak Saha from K.R. Choksey Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Thank you. So first of all, congrats on good set of numbers. So a couple of things. First, if you can help me understand the current capacity expansion that we are doing in Aurangabad facility. So once that is done, what would be our consolidated capacity overall?
So for the lamination part of the business, once the full capacity in Aurangabad is done, Aurangabad will be 72,000 tons, Hyderabad, the lamination facilities will be decommissioned, and the capacity in Pitti Industries Private Limited, erstwhile Bagadia Chaitra Industries, will be 18,000. So consolidated capacity on lamination would be 90,000 tons. Coming to the casting part of the business, Pitti Casting has a capacity of 14,400 tons, and the wholly owned subsidiary, Dakshin Foundries, has 4,200 tons. So on the foundry side of the business, we'll have 18,600 tons as a consolidated capacity. And the machining capacity will increase from 547,000 machine hours to 650,000 machine hours by the end of March.
Okay. And what would be our existing capacity overall for the lamination right now?
So consolidated basis would be 64 plus 18, so roughly about 82,000 tons.
Okay, and the 72,000 lamination that we are talking for Aurangabad facility, it would be commissioned by FY 25, right?
By December, it should be commissioned. We are under commissioning right now, so by December, the 72,000 tons will be commissioned in Aurangabad.
Okay. So secondly, now, you know, we have traveled quite a journey, and it's kudos to the entire team for where we are today. But when we look two to three years down the line, so what kind of, you know, I mean, specific numbers we should look in terms of EBITDA per ton or say volume and PAT? If some color, if you can share that, say, two to three years down the line, what are the numbers that we're looking for these specific metrics, like EBITDA per ton, it could be a certain level right now, and volume and PAT. So how can we, you know, comprehend this particular part going, you know, three years down the line?
Yeah. So on the lamination side of the business, on a consolidated basis for FY 27, we should be looking at about 72,000 tons as our sales number. On the machine component side, we should be looking closer to about 15,000-16,000 tons as a sales number by FY 27. And the EBITDA per ton would be a bad barometer going forward, since, you know, we have the casting, machining, and lamination now, which are very large parts of the overall business when compared to lamination. The revenue projection on a constant raw material basis for this operating level would be in the vicinity of 2,300-2,400 crores on a consolidated basis, and your EBITDA margin should be around 15%-16% of revenue.
That is over the long term, that's 15%-16%, because I understand this year, there will be certain moderation because all the things coming, and upfront cost, you know, getting borne initially. So that 15%-16% probably FY 26, FY 27, we should look for, right?
Yes.
Okay. And, sir, I mean, as per our understanding, we are probably already into the entire value chain of this, you know, motors, say 40% or 35%-40%. Now, is there any further plan to move deeper and, you know, commence our journey on the copper winding side as well?
So, we are open to doing that activity. We are waiting for the right customer to partner with, to explore that opportunity. The low voltage motors or the industrial motors, the competition is very intense in the motor industry in general. So that's something we would not be interested to take up, because there the margins would be compressed. We would be more inclined to do it for something like renewable energy or power generation or locomotives. So we are just waiting for the right kind of customer to partner with on that activity.
Okay. And you know, as you know, said that it's some kind of you're looking for more of a margin accretive, you know, penetration going ahead. So given the current context, what is the, you know, what is the trend you are picking, you know, largely from these, you know, big players within the motor space across different industries? Is there any slowdown or any sort of, you know, activity that your moderated activity that you are sensing from, you know, global OEMs?
So, first, let's talk of India specifically and then globally. Barring the low voltage motors, which is more like a commodity product, we are not seeing any kind of slowdown per se in any of our customer segments. If you look at renewable energy, that is growing, mining is growing, locomotive part of the business also is growing. So only it is on the industrial motor side where we are seeing a slight amount of slowdown, purely on account of price. Coming to the global scenario, we are predominantly exporting for locomotive business in North America and renewable business in Europe and North America. So there we continue to see growth as those countries are investing in green energy as well as their transportation networks.
Okay, and that's really helpful. So last question before I fall back on the queue. For the full year, I mean, two things. I think initially you alluded to the overall volume number. That once again, if you can say, I probably missed it. And secondly, for the full year, FY25, you know, what kind of numbers we are looking in terms of, you know, top line and bottom line. Some color, if you can share, that would be really helpful. And thanks. Thanks a lot for answering all the questions in detail.
So on the volume side for the full year, on a consolidated basis, should be about 60 to 64,000 tons. We are pretty much on track to achieving those numbers if you see H1. On a revenue side, along with Dakshin Foundries and the merger, it should be about 1,900 to 2,000 crores top line, so, provided that the raw material prices hold. And if that is the case, you should be looking at a EBITDA margin roughly in the vicinity of 15.5%. On a standalone basis and on a consolidated basis, it should be, as I would say, around the same. It will not make much of a difference.
Okay, sir. Fine. Thanks. And sir, for the quarter, if you can just give out the volume or capacity utilization numbers.
So for the quarter, on a standalone basis, we did 12,500 tons we did standalone, and consolidated would be 16,500.
Okay, fine. Amazing. Thanks for all the, you know, answers that you provided in quite details. I really appreciate it. Thank you, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Charvin from Share India. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was, what is the current order book, the timeline of its execution, and any guidance on the future order book?
The order book is not exactly relevant to our industry, as I've explained past also in the conference call. We are more of a B2C, B kind of a customer, a supplier to our customers, where we get our short cycle orders in the domestic side of the business. And on the export side, we have longer visibility. Overall, if I have to just give you a number on order book, it should be about 800 odd crores of revenue worth of order book executable over the next 8 to 12 months.
Okay.
However, we do get customer forecasts, which are quite accurate. So that's not exactly order book. It is a forecast that we receive from customers based on which we do our capacity planning. So if I look at that slightly towards a longer term horizon, as I mentioned in my previous answer, we are looking at about 72,000 tons of sales by FY27 on the lamination side and about 15,000 tons on the casting side.
Okay. And my next question was, what is the expected volume growth in sheet metal and castings for the second half for FY25?
Sorry, your line was not clear. I could not understand the question.
I'm audible now. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, what is the expected volume growth in sheet metal and castings for the second half of this FY25?
So in H2, we would look to do about 25,000 tons from our own standalone basis, sheet metal. And at Pitti Industries, the sheet metal volume should be roughly about 6,500 for H2. In terms of casting sales, consolidated casting sales should be about 5,000 tons for H2.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Sunny Vishay from Access Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on another set of strong numbers. I think you have answered a lot of questions earlier in detail, so I'll just stick to couple of questions. That is, what are expectations in terms of the working capital requirements? Because given that there has been some restatement, so I would ask the question in absolute terms. So So do we see the numbers for trade payables and receivables and inventory to be constant or similar around the current level?
We should see a reduction from here on. If you see, we've kind of just recently bought Bagadia and recently bought Dakshin. So as we integrate these companies, we shall be reducing the overall working capital at all our facilities through our synergy process.
Okay.
So going forward, you should see the inventories coming down, trade payables more or less remaining stable, as well as your trade receivables remaining more or less stable. The inventory side should come down going forward.
Understood. And lastly, what are our debt expectations for the year? I think we have already seen some reduction in this quarter. For the full year, where do we see?
We estimate that our net debt at end of the year should be about 200 odd crores.
Okay. That's it from my point. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. You may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Zarpade from Dream Ladder. Please go ahead. I'm sorry, sir, your audio is not clear. May I request you to use your handset, please?
Is it audible now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, I wanted to. Regarding the incentive part, how much more incentive can be booked the remaining part of the fiscal? That's what I wanted to understand.
So we are eligible for a 30 crore incentive on an annual basis up till FY26. We have accounted 25 crores already. Remaining 5 crores will be accounted in two tranches, which will be about 4 crores will be the second tranche, and the third tranche will be about 1 crore. It's based on the filing system with the Maharashtra government.
Okay. And what are the various segments that are really driving the user segments, basically, which are driving demand for the motors?
So for us, the generators in data centers, wind turbine and compact hydro, mining, locomotive, these three segments are driving the maximum amount of growth as of now.
And how is the demand shaping up from the IC and EV motors, EV vehicles?
So we have started with the IC product largely, and the EV products are now getting developed. We see a demand ratio of about 75% to 80% from IC and about 20% from EV.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dharmil from Dalmus Capital Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on the good set of numbers. My question was more on the consolidated volume number. So if we see Q on Q, it's largely the volumes are flat and the numbers you get give for H2 as well are somewhat similar. So do we see the trend that volumes are going to be flat for next two quarters around 12,500 for standalone? And
yeah, so if you take our annual target, Dharmil, as what we had guided to earlier, 48,000 tons on a standalone basis and about 14,000 at Bagadia. So if you see, we have this time for surprisingly got a very equated quarterly number for our annual target.
Right.
So that's a departure from the past trend where, you know, 640% was H1 and 60% was H2. This year, it's like all the growth is kind of equally spread across all the quarters. And that is largely because of the product mix, again, you know, changing. If you see at Bagadia Chaitra, we have the pump business, which typically works pre-monsoon. So that has given us volume in H1. In H2, that will dissipate, but then the appliance businesses would pick up. So the seasonality of some of the smaller segments have played very well in this consolidation.
Understood. So what did we try to
provide that stability?
Yeah. So this would be, I mean, this would remain constant for coming years as well, right? I mean, the seasonality.
Yeah, we hope so. If some of our other businesses, like, say, example, wind energy picks up, then again, that imbalance on that seasonality would come. But if this product mix continues, we should see stability going forward as well.
Understood. And yeah, again, I missed the part you mentioned about the other income. So there was some 25 crore other income recorded during the quarter, 26 crore. Was this pertaining to the incentive income from Maharashtra government, or I mean, if you can just quantify again?
Yes, 25 crore is the incentive income from Maharashtra government out of the 25.59 crore of total other income.
Okay, and how much would be booked in the remaining day?
I think in the remaining one, cumulatively, 5 crore will be booked.
Understood. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Singhania from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations, Akshay, for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
My question is on the sales breakup, which you have given in the presentation. So I have two queries over here. One is, I am seeing that the high-value-added assemblies have been declining over the last 2 years, whether it be on a quarter basis or half-year basis, whereas the low-value-added assemblies have been increasing. So any reason for the decline in high-value-added? Because we were thinking that, you know, there would be a better and a richer mix. And secondly, if you can also explain about side trim coils, which has been mentioned, which is the biggest component of the sales breakup. Like, what kind of value-add is there, and how does it compare with these between the high-value-added and low-value-added assemblies?
Yeah. Thanks, Akash. I think that's a great question. We wanted to actually bring some insight on this entire sales breakup that we've tried to do now. If you see vis-à-vis the past data, what we started giving now, we have broken up the sales of lamination into the lamination content and the child part and shaft content as well. So it gives you a clearer understanding as to how much shafts we are making and where it is going in terms of the assembly. So earlier, the weight of child part and shaft would be bunched into the high-value-added assemblies. We have spelled that out and segregated it. That's why if you see in quantitative terms with the prior period, it may look like a decline. But if you see in this breakup that we have given, there's a YOY increase only taking place. If you see in FY23, there's NA for shaft and child part because they were clubbed above.
Okay.
Okay. So the top five line items would be the lamination assemblies in total. Now, if you come to the second part of the quantitative data, we did 1,057 tons of machine components in Q2. 635 tons was the raw casting sold. 213 tons of castings went in assembly of the stator frames. Because if you see that item, it's a combination of casting, shaft, lamination, machining, and child part. So, you know, if we kind of add that up in that line item, it would not be fair representation of the capacity utilized. So we kind of clubbed it with the casting business. And then the last line item is scrap and side trim coils. If you look at our manufacturing process, the thumb rule input-output ratio is 1.75. So for every ton of lamination produced, about 0.75 tons of scrap also is generated. So that's what we call as a byproduct or scrap. The side trimming coils are, if you take the big coil which we use to buy from our steel suppliers, they typically come in, say, 1,200 or 1,300 mm coil size. So we cut it to the size that we require for our lamination. And the side trims, you know, say, 100 mm, 200 mm, 300 mm, are not usable in our product or our product mix. So those used to be sold in the market. These are the coils that we are now instead of selling in the market, selling to Bagadia, and they are using it as raw material. Thereby, you know, their profitability is improving.
Okay. Understood.
So we thought, you know, giving this breakup would be, you know, very clear and transparent way of explaining to everyone the complexity of our business and why, you know, the EBITDA per ton is not exactly a good barometer going forward with, you know, two subsidiaries and the merger.
Okay. Karan, no, I think this is very useful. It gives a very granular and a finer picture. I have one more question on the subsidy part or the incentive part. I think last year we had received the incentive in the March quarter. This time it looks like we have received it earlier in the September quarter. So just to understand, this year overall the incentive will be around 30 crores, out of which we have received 25. Is that correct?
Yes. Let me just take you one step back. If you see in Q2 FY24, we had accounted 12 crores, 70 lakh rupees of other income. So that was also the incentive income. For our Aurangabad project, we had phase 1A and 1B. So phase 1A was running at the rate of 12 crores per year for 7 years. 1B was running at the rate of 18 crores for 4 years. So the eligibility certificate for 1B had not been received earlier. We had to, you know, finish the capacity addition and then apply for the incentive claim. So last year we accounted 12 crores in September quarter. And in one shot in the March quarter, we accounted 2 years worth of incentives for FY23 and FY24, 18 crores into 2, 36 crores in March. Hereafter, for current year and next year, it will be 30 crores only.
Okay. So FY25 and 26 will be 30 crores.
Yes. And the way it works is we get to account 75% on application. And the remaining with the audited balance sheet and tax return and GST return, the remaining 25%. So that would typically be done in the second half of the year.
Okay. And post FY26, FY27 onwards, will the incentives be available? I think, was it for 5, 7 years or 10 years, or it expires after FY26?
No, the phase 1 will be finished, then the phase 2 will start. The ongoing capex, which will be capitalized by December, we are eligible to claim that starting FY27 for 9 years. That will be roughly about 40 crores per year.
Okay. Okay, understood. Okay, I understood. Thank you so much. Thanks for the clarification and great set of numbers. Thank you, Akshay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Charvin from Share India. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to ask, what is the current EBITDA per ton and what will be the expected EBITDA per ton for the second half of the year?
I'll give you the current EBITDA per ton, but if you take on the same barometer as we took last time, because we didn't have the subsidiary or the merged business, if you take the current EBITDA and take by the tonnage, it will not be very indicative. We did about 59.49 crores of EBITDA on a standalone basis, and our standalone tonnage was 12,541 tons. So the EBITDA per ton works out to about 47,436 rupees. But going forward, this would not be the right barometer. The barometer should be more like, you know, EBITDA margin on a constant raw material cost basis. We will be looking at about 15 to 16% EBITDA margin going forward.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishpreet Kaur from Relax Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akshay. Good set of numbers. Congratulations. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi. I just wanted to check. So, leaving apart the new acquisitions, what would have been the sales growth apart from the new acquisitions?
The sales? Sorry?
The sales growth number apart from the new acquisition.
So, on a standalone basis, we did about 379 crores of revenue.
Okay. So, just seeing the standalone numbers. Okay. Got it. So that would be the like-to-like.
Standalone would also be the merged revenue of Pitti Casting, which would be coming in. There's no way to actually look at it without Pitti Casting revenue now.
Okay.
So that merger was affected numbers, 1st April 23.
But September 23, the reported numbers, they also have the Pitti Casting?
Right? Yeah, they are all restated. If you see the financials, everything, they have all been restated. Okay. With effect 1/4/23.
Okay, great, fine. And just on the incentive part that you were explaining, so from FY26 onwards, did you mention that it would be 40 crores incentive for the next 9 years?
effective FY27. We will be claiming for FY26 in FY27. So the accounting treatment would be given in FY27 onwards.
So till 26, you're saying it would be 30 crores and the phase one would get over and the new phase would come in with the new capex that you're coming up with.
Yes. It is estimated to be 40 crores per year depending on the final capex that we actually end up spending.
Including the 1B1 that you just mentioned, 12 crores. Yes. 40 crores will be inclusive of that.
Yes. No, excluding of that. The one would be phase 1A and B would be closed by FY26.
Okay. Two, and 27 onwards? Okay.
Two will start effective 26, but the accounting would be done in 27. We have to finish the sales and then raise a claim on the government.
Okay. Great. Got it. And are there plans for any further acquisitions or any white spaces that you see? Like you mentioned, maybe if you want to up the value chain in terms of the motors, or is there any other space that you feel that you can get into organically or inorganically?
For the foreseeable future, I think we have our hands full with the two acquisitions and their integration and the merger.
Right.
We see great potential in kind of growing this business over the next 1.5 years. The only capex that you would be looking at would be to strengthen our tool room about 40-50 crores, that too over the next 2 years.
Okay, great.
We'll look at any more opportunities, you know, about a year later, once we have this in our control and stabilize all these parameters.
Sure, great. Great, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, my question is regarding railways. We have seen some slowdown on execution side, especially in railway wagons, metro coaches, and Vande Bharat also. So is there any impact on our business? So what's your view on that?
So we are not seeing any impact as of now on our business, and also any projections that we have received from our customers continue to remain encouraging. On the contrary, in absolute revenue terms, we are seeing a growth in our locomotive and metro rail businesses.
Okay, sir. Sir, on the EV side, we are engaged a discussion with a few of the customers for EV side. So what's the progress on that?
So it's not only EV, it is automotive in general. We are not saying we will not do ICE-related products. The order books are encouraging on the automotive side. If you see year on year, quarter on quarter, our automotive revenue continues to grow.
Okay, sir. Okay. Sir, like in recent con calls, like whether it's the Cummins or Kirloskar or Allegiance, they have mentioned they have witnessed a strong demand from data centers side. Like what's the traction on that side as of now? Right now, it's around 2-3% kind of overall top line, so where we can see in coming years.
So if you see on a consolidated basis, YOY, our data center related business has more than doubled on the higher revenue, that too. So we continue to see that growth, and you're right, the Cummins and all of them are very bullish on this product. We have received similar indications of growth on that product line. In absolute terms, data centers we see growing at least 2x further from here on.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mayank Chaturvedi from HSBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Mr. Chaturvedi, I have unmuted your line. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, sorry. Congratulations, Akshay, on a great set of numbers. Just wanted to draw more of your insights on this comment that you made, that you're witnessing a slight amount of slowdown in the steel motors purely because of price. Maybe if you can elaborate a bit on that, where exactly is the pain point coming from? Because as we understand, prices for low voltage motors have been subdued for the last 6-7 months. And is there an uptick that you're seeing which is causing the slowdown? Any comments on that?
So the prices of those motors continue to remain at rock bottom, and therefore the customer expectation on pricing also remains rock bottom. We are seeing lot of import possibilities from China. The raw material prices have kind of fallen off in China, and that typically affects this segment because this is more of a commodity, like I mentioned. If you see the consolidated revenue, this segment was about 13.5% of, sorry, 13.5% of revenue last year, Q2. It has shrunk to 11.5%. So while it has in absolute terms not degrown, it has not grown like how the other sectors have grown, such as power generation, data centers, renewable, mining, oil and gas. We are just slightly cautious about this segment going forward. While we are not perturbed by it, because the growth in the other segments is more than offsetting any potential losses in the future from this segment.
For sure, I'm not concerned about the revenue potential that the other segments do hold for you. I'm trying to make an analysis of the broader market trends for the industrial motors through your revenues. So just wanted to know if there's a volume shift that you're seeing.
At a broader level, the competition is intense. I mean, between our customers, I would not want to name them, but a lot of them which operate in the low voltage space, there is a market share moving from customer A to customer B, and that's kind of causing a lot of churn in the whole industry as a whole in the LV space.
Okay, all right. But on the broader overall volumes, you're not witnessing any pain. Is that,
no.
Would that
no.
be right?
No. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Overall volumes, not much concern. But within the customer's space, if there's a churn.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Thanks. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Singhania from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Chair. Just one more query. You mentioned that the debt would be increasing, I think, from 330 crores now to 400 crores to 400 by the end of the year. So how much of CapEx we are doing second half and next year, and what is leading to the increase?
No, it will come down to 200, Akash.
Okay, it will come down to 200.
So the way we look at it, the incentive claim that we've done in April, so in March, we have yet to receive from the government. We typically receive it by December, March. So that money will come in. While it's accounted, the cash flow has not come in yet. And the cash accruals on a consolidated basis, along with the inventory reduction, will contribute about 150 to 160 crores of cash coming in, of which about 50 crores is capital expenditure plan. So we see about 100, 120 crores of net debt reduction taking place as a result.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may please press star and one to ask questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of the question and answer session. And on behalf of Pitti Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. For further queries on visiting the plant, please be in touch with Mr. Ramanaidu from Intellect PR on 9920209623. I repeat, 9920209623. Thank you for joining us, and you may have a wonderful day. Thank you. And you may disconnect the lines.